Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sports Community Radio here on RPPFM 98.7, 98.3 FM on your dial, the voice of the peninsula. My name's Joe Novella, and I'm afraid I haven't got my usual co-host this week, Steve Pallas, who is off doing some meet and greets in different parts of the country. I believe he might be in Queensland today. So if you're listening, Steve, I hope the weather's a hell of a lot warmer than it is down here in Melbourne at the moment, because it is cold as winter's last bite. Okay, we've got the latest and greatest in the world of grassroots sports, as we normally do each week, thanks to RPPFM here. And we are going to start by letting you know of the latest grants that are available for grassroots sports clubs and institutions out there that are working in the grassroots sports marketplace. Now, of course, you can always visit our website to check out these grants on our website. They're all listed on our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au. But I'll let you know as part of the radio station about the new grants that have come up. And like I said, if you need more information or more details, just head to our website and you'll find them all there under our grants tab. The first one that's come out that may be of interest to you out there is the SASI Individual Athlete Program. Now, this is a grant that is provided by the government of South Australia, and it is to provide financial assistance and service support to elite athletes who are engaged in a comprehensive program of intensive training and international competition in an Olympic, Paralympic, or Commonwealth Games sport and event. The scholarship and awards are available the scholarship and award available are High Performance Scholarship, Paralympic Scholarship, Country Athlete Award, athletes aged 13 to 18 years, and the budget is $135,000. So if you're interested in that from South Australia, make sure you come to our website and check out the contact details there for the SASI Individual Athlete Program. And the next grant that I'd like to talk to you about is the Community Sustainability Infrastructure Fund, and that's a grant that's been released by the state government of Victoria. And that grant is an infrastructure fund that is open to Victorian community groups, local government, and businesses to lend a hand to achieve local sustainability goals. And the fund comprises of two streams. Community grants of up to $50,000 are available to community organisations, charities, and schools for infrastructure projects to achieve either a sustainable energy or resource recovery outcome. And the second stream is local government and business grants. So need more details on that? Once again, just head to our website and you'll find more details on the Community Sustainability and Infrastructure Fund released by the State Government of Victoria. And the third and final new grant for this week that I'd like to alert you to is the Sport and Recreation Development and Inclusion Program, or SRDIP. And that is another grant that's been released by the Government of South Australia. And it is to provide assistance to eligible organisations to develop and implement projects that will grow the sport or activity, improve services, and or address barriers to inclusion. The annual budget is $3.23 million. Applicants can be funded for up to 3 years. So if you're interested in those grants, or you believe your club or organisation might fit the criteria that will allow them to receive those funds or grants, then please head to our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, where you can find all of those grants and further details, including eligibility criteria and contact information. Okay, so there's your grants for this week. And when we We're going to have a little bit of a break now and listen to some sponsors' messages. And when we come back from that, I'm going to be giving you or relaying you the latest news in the world of grassroots sport. Stay tuned. You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella, another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Community Radio and podcast here with your host, Joe Novella, on RPP FM 98.7, 98.3 on your dial, the voice of the peninsula. As mentioned prior to the break, I'm without my usual co-host in Steve Pellis, who's off gallivanting all around the country doing his best for sports community, we hope, and not just sitting on a sunbed somewhere and drinking a mocktail. So we hope it's raining up there for you, Steve. Oh, no, we don't. We hope it's beautiful, because down here in Melbourne, it's absolutely freezing as winter takes its last bite before we head into the summer season, which we're all looking forward to. Barbecues, cricket, oh, we love it, don't we? Okay, as mentioned, we're going to talk about some of the news that's making its ways onto the airwaves and print media around the country that may affect the world of grassroots sport. And we're going to start with the world's largest event, which is going to be making its way. I shouldn't say the world's largest event. It's the world's largest life-saving event, which will be returning to the beautiful city of Adelaide. Well, Adelaide has won the right to host the Rescue 2018 Life-Saving World Championships. And that's a big deal, because it is an international event, and it is one of the first that the state government of Adelaide has been able to secure using the $6 million major events bid fund, which was promised during the state election. So Premier Jay Weatherall said the championships will bring thousands of people from more than 40 countries to Adelaide and is expected to generate around $18 million for the state's economy. In his words, this great event is the world's largest life-saving sport competition, with the athletes putting their important skills to the test, and it will be held over 2 weeks at venues including Glenelg Beach and the world-class South Australian Aquatic and Leisure Centre at Marion. So a really big deal for the city of Adelaide and the state of South Australia there, being able to secure a major international event in the guise of the 2018 Rescue Life-Saving World Championship. So well done there to the city of Adelaide and to the government of South Australia for putting in the investment that allows them to secure the event, which will then flow down to the grassroots life-saving sports clubs around the country, and also especially around Adelaide and in South Australia, who will be playing a significant part in that event, I would imagine. Okay, the next piece of news that has been circulating around the traps is the fact that our own Sally Pearson has been named the 2014 Sportswoman of the Year. So congratulations, Sally, universally liked. And, of course, a champion, gold medalist. What more can we say? She's just a superb, superb athlete. Conducts herself well off the track as well, and is a role model to many out there. So congratulations to Sally Pearson on being named 2014 Sportswoman of the Year. And of course, Demons legend Robbie Fowler passed away, so sports community during the last week, so we send our condolences to the Fowler family. The Flower family, Robbie Flower, that is, Melbourne champion. And he was probably the epitome of fair play in AFL. He played the game with a smile. He was a gentleman both on and off the pitch, a role model to many. He really was a best and a fairest in the purest description of those words. An amazing contribution to AFL football, and a legacy that will be long remembered, and a man that we shall also remember for quite a long time, the Melbourne champion Robbie Flower. Condolences on his passing. Also, interesting in sticking with the AFL theme, that a lot of players seem to be moving at the moment. It is the trade period with the AFL, but one of the interesting things that's come up, especially this year in the news, is the value of the contract, as many of the AFL players now are requesting to move to other clubs, even though they've got periods of contracts remaining. Tom Boyd and various others, and in some cases, such as Paddy Ryder, there are extenuating circumstances, but in a lot of the other cases, it's just that they want to move. Dame Beam's another one. So I don't know what your opinion is out there in the grassroots sports world, but I know that there are many organisations that play that semi-professional and semi-professional level of competition, and their players are paid, and there would be contracts involved. And is the contract dead? I mean, does it not? Is it not worth the paper that it's written on? Interesting discussion. Okay, another one is Melbourne United coach Chris Anstey resigning after one game. Not a good look for the new, more rebranded franchise. There was a lot of controversy, of course, over the rebranding of the name. Melbourne United doesn't sound like a basketball team. Sounds more like a soccer team. The old Tigers fans weren't really on board with it. And now we have the coach resigning after one game. So a lot of work to do for the elite basketball clubs. And we do know that as part of our work in sports community, that basketball's got a huge, a massive, massive participation rate. So, you know, hopefully we can find a way as participants in the sport to take ownership of the game and help it grow, because we shouldn't be leaving it just to the elite sports clubs to bear the brunt of growing the game and making sure it gets the media coverage and the, you know, the rights money that it deserves, because it is falling behind some of the other sports. You know, the growth in the A-League and a few other sports is starting to overtake the basketball now. So, you know, if you're basketball passionate, then make sure you support the teams. Melbourne United, 5,000 people there for the first game. Sacked coach. There's a few challenges there that we'll need to get over. Now, onto a sport that is really kicking some big goals is the netball. And the One Netball Awards were decided recently. And this is an award ceremony for individuals that put in time as volunteers or admins or are involved in their club in a special way. And five winners were named. Leanne Eads from Katning in, I hope I say that right, in WA, for her contribution to the growth of the All Stars Netball Club and Grassroots Netball Program, which supports Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players, their families and the community to get involved with netball. Manly Warringah Netball Association from North Curl Curl, New South Wales, were also awarded for their all-ability netball program that supports people with an intellectual disability. Guildford League's Knights Netball Club from Guildford, New South Wales, was awarded as well for actions taken to seek and support greater involvement of their local Muslim community within their netball club. Pandana Netball Club from Pandana, South Australia, again, apologies if I haven't pronounced that correctly, for their efforts to ensure the ongoing growth and participation in their remote community netball club, including running mixed competitions and addressing financial barriers to participation. And last but not least, on the One Netball Awards is the Echuca and District Netball Association from Echuca, Victoria, for supporting the creation of the Rockets netball team, where players with an intellectual disability compete in their junior competition supported by players, coaches, umpires and families within the association. So the winners will receive a visit from Australia Post One Netball Ambassador, from an Australia Post One Netball Ambassador, and they'll be presented with load and go cards to the value of $500 for the individual winner and $1,000 for each club and association winners. And a signed netball from the 2014 Commonwealth Gold Medal Netball Team, award-winning netball team, Australian netball team, that is. Sorry, I'll put my teeth back in and I'll start pronouncing my words better. But there you have it. Great to see that those that are really blazing the trail in the sport of netball are being recognised and awarded, and well done to netball for facilitating that as well. Another interesting piece of news that I want to alert you all to is the fact that if you are a teacher, you could possibly take your class to the Asian Soccer or Asian Football Club next year, which is being held here in Australia in 2015. It's a massive, massive event for the Australian football team, the Socceroos, probably second only to the World Cup. So it's a huge, huge deal, and you know, big stadiums, big crowds, international audiences, very, very, very big event. And teachers can sign up for an Asian Cup educational resource for the chance to win free tickets for their class to the Asian Cup 2015. So all you have to do is to go to the Asian Cup website, and you can find that just by typing in AFC Asian Cup 2015 into Google, and you'll be able to navigate your way through there using the links to get your school involved. And you basically download a kit which consists of 8 integrated units of work for years 3 to 4 and years 5 to 6 across subjects English, Maths, Art, Health and Physical Education. Each unit is themed with football and is designed to meet the Australian curriculum, cross-curriculum priority with Asia and Australia's engagement with Asia. The Asian Cup 2015 Educational Resource has an Asian-Australian cultural component integrating teaching and learning, will be mapped to the Australian curriculum, teachers' character building and community values in a sports context, is accessible to students across multiple intelligences, gives students an opportunity to model their language to an audience, has a football-themed component integrated into each unit of work, is underpinned by the use of media technology. So get on to www.afcasiancup.com and navigate your way to getting your to the education tab and taking your class to the cup. And who knows, you may be taking your cup to taking your class to the cup, but at the very least you'll have a great resource to teach the kids with on a football theme. Okay, the last bit of news that I want to talk to you all about is one that I stumbled across today, which I think is going to be of great value to all the listeners, and it really piqued my curiosity when I read it. And that is that in development right now is a wearable device that uses body movement to charge your smartphone. That's right. In the future, the not too distant future, we'll be able to wrap some kind of device somewhere on our person which will generate power for our smartphone. So let me read what it says in the news extract. Founded by 3 PhD engineering students at Northwestern University, this device called AMPY captures your body's motion, converting the kinetic energy into a mobile device, into mobile device power. According to the people who've developed this, a typical day of walking, about 8,000 to 10,000 steps, gives you another 3 hours of smartphone battery life. And if you add another 30-minute workout that day, you'd get around 6 additional hours. So this is according to the chief executive officer of AMPY. And I think it's an absolutely fantastic concept, and hopefully it sees the light of day, because what better way to get your kids into sport or exercise than to say to them, look, you're no longer going to be able to use your mobile phone until you go out there and charge it. I think it's fantastic. And I could tell you that if your child really wants to use their phone, they'll be out there doing the steps or the exercise to charge it up. So it's a great idea all round, and should be well supported by everyone, I hope. Okay, that's it for the news for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope there's something in there for you or your club or your association or your sport. And we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to one of our guests on Sports Community Radio and podcast here on RPPFM 98.7, 98.3, the voice of the peninsula. You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas. If you've missed a couple of our episodes, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, and there you'll find all our previous podcasts that you can download. And while you're there, give us a review so you can help spread the news about Sports Community and its services to the grassroots sports clubs. Welcome back to Sports Community Radio with your host, Jonah Vella on RPPFM 98.7, 98.3, the voice of the peninsula. We've got a very special guest with us today. Her name is Pamela Irvine. She's the president of the Paterson Lakes Tennis Club down here in Victoria on the, well, almost the Mornington Peninsula, but Bayside. It's beautiful neck of the woods. And she's also a much valued team member at Sports Community. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Thank you.
Now, Pam, you've walked into this presidency, and it's the absolute case study for a lot of the teaching that we conduct here at Sports Community, in that have a volunteer who all of a sudden gets tapped on the shoulder and or feels that they need to, you know, help the club out, and they get put into an office bearer's role like the president or the secretary or something like that. And you are it. So this is going to be very interesting listening to a lot of our listeners out there, especially the ones that are in your position or have been in your position, because it's tough, isn't it? Talk to us about what it felt like when you first got into the role.
A little bit difficult. I've been around tennis most of my life, playing myself, and then having kids who play both socially and competitively, but have not been involved in the running of a tennis club before, although I've been on school and kinder committees. Not quite the same, though. There's a lot to know. There's a lot that you realize you don't know. And fortunately, I have a really good group of people that are on the committee that are very, very supportive. And I have been leaning very heavily on them. And they are fantastic as far as volunteering and contributing. So they have been guiding me along the way and perhaps doing a lot of the work.
Well, so you basically, the first thing you did was, did you get the current committee together? I mean, talk us through that, because that'd be interesting to a lot of people. Did you ring them up? I mean, what's the actual logistics? How does it work?
Well, it all happened at the AGM. So the committee was there. They were all members of the previous committee, because as is the case with perhaps the majority of committees out there, that because there's no one else that shows up, the previous committee has to continue. This club was in a position that the president was actually leaving, so was not able to continue anyway. And I was the only new person in the room.
So it was a case of so it was a case of, if you don't want this job, step back, and you were the only one left.
You know, all eyes are on you and the door's locked. But but look, with my working here at Sports Community, I feel that I have enough knowledge to, and certainly the backup to be able to do the role really well. So very lucky from that point of view. So the committee was already there. We certainly all have the same sort of viewpoint, the same goals. We were also in the position that the coach was leaving and needed to be replaced. So my very first job in the first 5 minutes was to find and hire a new coach. That worked well. The committee, as I said, works really, really well together. We all have the same view to where the club should be and where it's going and where we want it to go and how we want it to get there. So they've obviously worked very well beforehand. And I guess I came in with the idea of just being the organizer and leader and getting the job done with just their support.
Right. So you decide, you're kind of like, it, you know, it's working well, a lot of experience, there's a body of experience there. I just need to contribute my expertise, but I don't need to radically go in there and change things too much. That's the kind of approach?
yes and no. Yes, from the point of view that all the attitudes were in the right place, the ideas were in the right place, but perhaps the procedures and step-by-step to get there were not. So, you know, going back to the basics of working out exactly what the goals are and going from there. So working out what it is that we actually really do want and prioritizing and breaking it down and then working out the best way to get to that.
So that was the starting point then. So that, so you basically sat down as a committee and worked out what the club wanted to achieve. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's a really important lesson for a lot of clubs out there, and that's the right, you know, according to us and what we've seen as the way the successful clubs work, mm-hmm. They do that planning up front. So how do you prioritise what needs to be done and when? As part of your plan, you're going to have mm-hmm. certain goals and targets and whatnot. How do you prioritise? What's the process?
I'm a visual person, so it all goes down on paper to me, and it's a combination of a couple of things. One is the finances, because it's all very nice to say you want to have new courts and you want to have new lights, and you know, if the bank balance doesn't show that that's going to be viable in the very short term. So just because that's your number one priority doesn't mean that that's what you're going to do first. So that's sort of our priority is replacing the lights and getting in some new courts. And to do that, though, we've then had to sort of take a step back and work out, you know, where we're going to get the money from to do that. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, grants and sponsorship are a major contributor to that. But we've also looked at perhaps using the fabulous venue that we have, and it really is a fantastic venue, for other things as well. So it's a matter of now sitting down with the council and working out whether we, you know, what we have to do to be able to hire out the venue, for example. Our coach also has a food handler's license and is a caterer. So these are things that she's willing to contribute. And that's an important thing too, making sure you have a coach who has the same goals as you do. So she's absolutely fantastic from that point of view that, you know, if we open up the venue to various different things, then she's happy to, you know, offer her services, whether it's catering, whether it's being available to be at the venue at the time. So that's a new source of income, because it is a great venue and no reason why, as long as it works with the council, that we can't hire it out.
Yeah, that's great. Now, a lot of sports out there are struggling with declining membership. Mm-hmm. Is that something that tennis as a sport at grassroots level is facing, and your club in particular? And if so, have you got any ideas about how you might go about rectifying that?
Numbers in tennis have been decreasing, in not just in our club, but I think as a general rule. But look, we have a fantastic new coach, but we also have you know, lots of different new ideas. This weekend, for example, we've got an open day, so where all the current members and family and are asked to invite friends, whether they're, you know, immediately in the neighbourhood or within driving distance, to come down. The local schools, the local shopping centre, all that sort of thing have been approached to just come down for a 1 hour free lesson on Sunday. So we already feel that that's going to make a difference. Putting up a new signage that we haven't had before. Just making people aware. And also, I think with the hiring out of the venue too, that's going to make a difference as well, because the idea is to make the venue known to people who didn't know about it before, yep. or who may not have necessarily thought about tennis before, to suddenly make them think, well, you know, hey, what about trying that out?
So is it an expensive sport for a family, tennis?
I don't think so. my kids do other things as well. Look, it can be if you want it to be, and you know, if you have to have the you know, the most expensive tennis outfit and the most expensive tennis racket, and then if you want to have your membership and you want to have lessons and then you want to play in squad and you want to add all of that up if you've got several kids, then I guess you know, you're going to pay for that. However, most clubs, including ours, do have a family membership. Mm-hmm. So you can join as a family, and that certainly is not an expensive adventure. You can have very good rackets there at very good prices. We, and again, most tennis clubs will have a pro shop where you can buy them at a good price. And, of course, there's great, you know, specials around everywhere that you can get tennis rackets. So to actually just go and play tennis is not a major expense. If you're playing competition, that's not expensive either. It does add up if you add all the things together, but
I guess the point there is that you can make it an economical sport for you, for your kids, and even yourself. What you do a lot of word of mouth communication, which is fantastic. We've often talked about the power of word of mouth on this show. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the most effective communication tools that clubs have that they don't utilise. What other forms of communication do you use? Do you have a website, these kind of things?
There is a website, and I found out the other day that there actually is already a Facebook account. Not that I ever knew that. But since we have the new coach and the new committee, as such, we have updated the website. We now have people who are going to be updating the website on a regular basis. So, the teams that won the grand finals and played the semifinal, they're already up there. The new coach information's up there, and it's going to be updated. We have started the newsletter. First monthly newsletter has gone out. And the coach was going to start a Facebook account, but apparently there is one already there. So her job is to keep that, to get that up to scratch and to then keep that going.
So. Wow, that's amazing. So you've gone from basically pretty much nothing in terms of the digital communication side of things to now having a newsletter, having up to date website, Facebook. That's fantastic. Have you noticed that's made any change? Have more people become aware of your club?
We have had people approach us now about playing night tennis, so they would have either got that off the website or perhaps off Facebook, because that hasn't really been promoted anywhere else unless they were just hoping we do. So these are people who weren't members who have contacted the club about that. But one of the things that that I think the certainly the newsletter and website have helped with is we had our presentation and information night a week or two ago, which was always one of those, okay, we've got to go and in and out in 45 minutes, job done. But this time I suggested we open the bar. So if you open the bar, you've got to have food. And it was a couple of hours later that we were discussing whether or not we needed to call last drinks. So apparently the club many, many years ago was very, very socially active and, had a much, much larger membership than it does now. And for whatever reason, it was that sort of changed and went into decline. So but in the newsletter, certainly went out that this event was happening and the bar will be open. And, we made quite a bit of money taking money over the bar, providing the food for, for free nibbles. That was just a fantastic result, the social part and the money part.
Oh, that's great. So I just want to lend your wisdom and hopefully the listeners out there can avail themselves of it. If you were to summarise your top five tips for anyone stepping into the role who may have not been prepared or was expecting it, what would you say they would be?
Wow.
In no particular order.
Oh, good, yeah. As I was going to say. Yeah. Certainly make sure you have the right group of people around you. Mm-hmm. Make sure that the goals are clearly defined. Involve as many people in the club as you possibly can. And that's not five yet, is it?
No, that's three. What else really? Thinking back on, and I know it's you're very early in your term as a president, but what else has helped you a lot?
Ask.
Yeah.
Ask. You've got to ask. And I think that if you ask people, people help. That's actually something that happened on at that presentation night. I made my little hello, welcome introduction speech and said that, this is the committee and this is what we're doing. However, anybody who would like to volunteer their assistance, their ideas, their support is more than welcome to. And we had two of the teenagers come up offering to run a Kris Kringle at the Christmas party.
Wow.
And now we have to run a Christmas party.
Teenagers actually offering to help.
Exactly. So we figure we have to have a Christmas party so that we don't let them down. And we had one of the parents come up and say that they would be happy to run a sausage sizzle on a Saturday during competition. So these are people who don't want to be on the committee, but who are happy to do something. And that only happened because I actually asked. So it really, really is important to ask. And I think the other important thing is to listen.
Yep.
That's fine.
Wow. That's great. And that is fantastic advice for anyone out there who has been thrust into that role. And there's a lot of people out there at sports clubs that may not have done an apprenticeship on the committee and have just been put up there as the president, as you have been, and I think they'd find your comments very reassuring and very helpful. So, Pamela Irvine, thank you very much for being part of the Sports Community Radio Show podcast here on RPPFM 98.7, 98.3. Do you know the name of your website? Do you know the website address?
Patterson Lakes. Oh, PLTC, so for Patterson Lakes Tennis Club, .com.au.
And what's the name of your coach?
Dev Carr.
Yep, and is there any, if anyone's interested in joining the club or taking lessons, how would they go about doing that?
You can contact, well, you can have a look on the website or email committee@PLTC.com.au.
All right, that's great. Thanks for your time, Pam.
Thank you very much for asking.
Okay, we've come to that time where we must say goodbye, but you can get much more of Sports Community at our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, where you can download previous podcasts, check out latest news in the world of grassroots sports, discover great resources for your club, including grants, take part in our great online training, and much, much more. So until next time, on behalf of me, Joe Novella,
and me, Steve Pallas, thank you for making us part of your sports community.